and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
We're right now in the series of going forward with God, and we're reading the book of Joshua right now because the book of Joshua is all about going forward. God's saying it's go time. I had given the promise to Abraham about the promised land. I know, guys, that you were in slavery in Egypt. Moses led you out of the slavery. You spent years, a few years, couple of years in the wilderness, right? You are in the land of Moab right now. And across the Jordan, there is a promised land that you can already see. And right now, it's a go time. Right now, you go forward with me. Don't stay on the side of the river. Don't stay on the side of the promise. I promise you, and I will make the promise real and fulfill it. And he's saying to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous, because this is not an easy task, right? There is a river to cross. There are enemies to draw out of the land. So we were talking about these enemies, right? What enemies did Joshua need to face? What do they represent now? What can be the obstacle of us going forward with God? Because God is always doing something, right? We said this, we agree with that. God is always wants to move forward. And what is holding us back? He wants to promote you. He wants your relationship with God to grow. He wants your character to develop. He wants you to become more and more like Jesus. So what are the obstacles of obeying what you're reading in the Bible? What are the obstacles of obeying what you're hearing from God? Dawn last week was talking about Hittites as the enemies, and they mean the son of terror. He was talking about how God is promising you something, and then you're filled with anxiety, with questions, with doubts, with worry, and what to do with this worry, right? He was talking about praising God. He was talking about praying and standing on the faithfulness of God. I love the story of Jericho, because when I read it, everything what God is telling his people to do in a human sense, it does not make any sense, right? It's just illogical. If I needed to conquer a fortified city, I probably would choose a different strategy than to circumcise all of your warriors, right? And make them more vulnerable and etc. But God got all the glory. And I love that Don received the revelation from the Holy Spirit about circumcision. He said perhaps God needed to do this to remind his people who he is, to remind his people who they are, to mark them with a promise, right? He promised this to Abraham. Then he made a covenant with him. The same reminder goes to the nation of Israel right now, that I'm the God who gave you that promise, and I'm going to make it happen. Today, we're going to be talking about Hivites. And Hivites mean villagers with a small village outlook. In a simple words, we can call them small-minded. And I don't want to insult anyone who's coming from a village or a cute small town. I'm not talking about this, but we can agree, right? In a city, in a bigger city, there's more exposure. There's more areas to learn. There are more opportunities to learn, activities. There's something always happening, right? And even for us, we are coming, majority of us coming from different nations, right? When we came here, we needed to adjust. Whether you're from bigger city or a smaller city, we needed to adjust. We needed to learn new culture, how things work here. And whenever I get home, and for example, I think you guys can relate to this, maybe my friends from Central Asia, but whenever I get home and we start talking with parents about some things we don't necessarily agree upon, my dad loves to say that, well, you think like a European now. And I don't know if, I don't think that, I hope that he does not mean it as a bad thing, but whatever it means, he and I, we notice that right now we think differently. Right now, we don't understand each other well, right? Our values are different. What the things that we consider important are different. The things we look, how we look at life is different, right? And whenever Diana is sitting there, she's from Central Asia too, and she's just nodding her hair. She knows what I'm talking about. And I feel like I don't fit in the culture anymore, right? Because I was formed, I was shaped right now differently. One thing that I don't understand quite about my country, that we throw huge, ridiculously huge celebrations for anything, any cause. We started, Latin America probably can agree as well, but 1 year old baby having a birthday, like they go beyond, like they just don't invite friends to have a cake and like take a few pictures. They like rent the restaurant, they invite the MC, they invite performances like dancers, singers, there are games, there are competition, there are hundreds of adults who come in for a birthday of a 1 year old baby. And then there is another group of kids, right? And they have their own program, and they also will have their professional photographer and videographer just to capture everything. And I'm talking to friends who organize it, and they're like, it's just so complicated and it's just so tiring. And I'm like, why do you do it? Like, if you don't want to do it, why do you do it? And usually they say something like, well, everybody is doing it. This is a tradition. This is how things work. What will people think if we don't throw a celebration? They will be offended. They will say something to me, and etc. And this is how we were taught, right? This is just how things are. And I think we're talking about the enemy of the progress. And I think this is exactly it. This is just how things are. A compliance with how things are. And you don't have to be obviously from a village or from Central Asia to have a small mindset or have a different culture, right? But the small mindset means if you're putting yourself into a box and defining yourself by your culture, but you by what your parents told you to do, but what your friends might think about you, right? Even your personality sometimes. When God speaks something, it will not fit into this box. This is who I am. This is how I work. And by saying this, you close yourself to the change that God wants to bring, to the freedom that God wants to bring, to the true identity of you that He wants to reveal. You're hesitant to obey the word fully because it does not sit well with you. When the Bible actually supposed to change us, shape us, and form us, and teach us God's way. And when we read it, we need to come into agreement with God, not the other way around. Amen? Someone says we don't see things how they are, but how we are. And what it means that you don't see it for what it is, truly. You see things how you think they are. You interpret the actions of other, what is happening based on your experience, based on your culture. And this is dangerous, right? And it can be, have a negative mindset of saying, well, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be able to do something significant. So I don't believe it. And I will not start this journey of going forward with God. Or it can be overly positive, saying that, well, I am good, I'm perfect, you know, I don't need to change. I think I'm already doing a lot, and this is just my limit, and yeah, I don't need to change. And this is both of this mindset are foolish, right? Because what you actually doing is you're binding yourself. You're closing yourself into this box. And this is an obstacle for God to fulfill beautiful, good things that He has in store for you. Because this is His essence. He is good. Do you believe that He wants to do good in your life and inside of you? Because I need to remind myself this, because we get so busy, right, with things. I was the song that Nicole was singing, He Won't Fail, the words goes like, everything around me is shaking, but I was never more, what was the words? I've never been more glad. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. When everything is around you shaking, but you're joyful, right? Because you know that God is good. And I was reading from Genesis. I started reading the Bible again from the beginning. And I love how the Bible speaks. You can read one thing over and over again for 20 times, but then on this 21st time, like, you will see something that you didn't see, right? And it's like logical, and you're like, how didn't I like think about it earlier? But that's the living word of God, right? I was reading from Genesis, how God created the world and how good it was, the land, the stars, the animals. And the first time when he says, it's not good, he said, it's not good for men to be alone. And it's an encouragement for all the single people here, of course, that God's intention for a man is to be with someone. And I knew that part, and I'm like, yes, Lord, God. What struck me right now while I was reading this is that God is concerned about the well-being of a man. God really wants you to be good. God really created a perfect environment for the humanity to thrive, to live. And he did not stop at that point. He said, well, it's not good for men to be alone, because he has this need, right, for the connection, because he created in my image, and he said it's not good. And I saw this heart of God really being concerned for our good. And my thought is, maybe we have a small mindset because we don't know who our God is. Maybe we have a small mindset because we don't know who God truly is. Maybe your God is small. My image of God on my journey with him, a few things that I needed to really break the lies in my life of how I see God was that God was needy and demanding, and then God was withholding something from me. And I think when we have these thoughts, right, we have two choices. We can say, yes, I believe what I'm thinking about God, and then like, I don't want him anymore. Or we can come to him and say, you know what, like, this is what I think about you, but this is not in accordance what the Bible says about you, right? And you are seeking him and praying for him to reveal and to break these lies. And while I was reading the Bible, while I was reading the sermons or reading the books, hearing, listening to the sermons, Holy Spirit just changed things instantly. Like, in one moment, and for good. And this is how Holy Spirit is transforming us, right? God is still obviously working on it. He wants our outlook to be his outlook. God may speak to you about his plans that he has for you. Like, we love receiving new words for the new year, right? Like a breakthrough, a thriving, and etc. And we're like, ooh, that feels good. It feels so encouraging, and you get comfortable with just having this feeling of encouragement, right, coming. And then you stop there, but then you don't pray for it within the year. You don't act like this is what God has promised you to do, right? You start worrying about the same thing that you wrote down in your journal, and We won't believe it, we won't obey it, we won't take actions, and we stayed where we are because this is how things are. The enemy of the progress is compliance with this is how things are. And I don't want to depress you, obviously, but I want you to grasp this, this move of God, that he is moving all the time. He's doing good all the time, right? And I want you to grasp it and see and just fill your heart with expectations. Romans 12:2 says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What does it mean to renew our mind? It means when you think that something is impossible, you're going to remind yourself, and Holy Spirit will remind you, that everything is possible with God. When you have a colleague or someone who you know that is sick and you feel anxious and worried that, well, the power of prayer and the power of blood will not heal this person, you remind yourself that by his wounds we are healed. When you worry about your financial perspective in the future, you remind yourself the words of Paul that I learned to be content in abundance and in need. Renewing, replacing the lies with the truth. It's believing that God is who he says he is. And he loves you the way he says he loves you. His love demonstrated on the cross of Jesus, right? Nicole was talking about today. What does it mean for you? Does it mean anything for you? Does it change the way you live, the way you think about it? God, about yourself, about others? Here is a good prayer to pray as we embark on going forwards. It's from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." In other words, show me the ways that are holding me back. Show me the obstacles that are holding me back. Show me where my thinking needs to expand and outlook and approach needs to change in order to move forward with you. Jesus, let's talk about Jesus because he's great. Jesus was constantly challenging a small mindset of people around him, right? When it came to traditions, when it came to religion, when it came to culture, when it came to disbelief. Here are a few examples. I will be reading from Mark 6, 35, 37. Jesus asked disciples to do something that they thought wasn't even an option. It says, by this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat," they said to him, "that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" And you know the rest of the story. Jesus directed them on what to do. Disciples had 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. They distributed it among 5,000 men, and they all ate and were satisfied. And then disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces and bread and fish. I love that here Jesus empowered disciples because he knew that the time would come when he would not be there, and then disciples would need to feed these people, right? We're talking about spiritual food. And they thought that the only way of feeding these people was to send them somewhere to eat or to pay for it. It never entered their minds that Jesus might feed the multitude with a miracle. But God has resources that we know nothing about. So we can trust him and be at peace even when we can't figure it out how he will provide. We can rest knowing that he is all-powerful, that he is good. The second example is the story of a young rich man. If you remember, he came to Jesus asking, "What shall I do to inherit the eternal life?" As the actions itself can buy this, right, for you. But he challenged him to let go of things that he was holding on to embrace the bigger prize and treasure. And Matthew 19, 21 says, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And as this rich man, young rich man heard, he went away, it says, sad, for he had great possessions. Even though he had all these possessions, right, it did not contribute to his comfort or to his joy or to the peace or to the fullness that he was expecting, because he went away sad. He is miserable even while he possesses them. And I'm wondering what this person was thinking about, right? What his thoughts were when he heard the Jesus claiming to sell everything and to follow him. Was he afraid? Was he too comfortable with his possession? Was he afraid what the friends might think? Or he was just thinking, well, like, you just don't do things like this. Like, this is not normal. Like, this is too much to ask. This is not wise. So I'm not going to do this. But in the reality, the things that you hold on to can be holding you back from following Jesus. And when you don't follow Jesus, you went away. You can leave sadly, right? You can leave with a sad, being empty. And Jesus expanded disciples' world and their thinking. Imagine being this bunch of young guys who had never traveled outside of the region that they were raised, right, or they had grown up in. And before the days of planes and the modern travel, Jesus was saying to them in Mark 16:15, go into all the world. In Acts 1:8, Peter on the Pentecost, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Imagine if you're just stuck in one place and there isn't, like, not a lot of opportunities to travel, right? Like, until you have a good reason, until maybe you're selling the goods and everything. And Jesus is saying it to them. Peter is saying it to them. You're going to go into the world and tell them about Jesus and tell them about the power of the gospel. That sounds like an adventure. And God is inviting us to join him in this adventure. And this is joyful. For some, maybe you can hear this. This is, I don't know. This sounds like too much work, right? Or sounds like a big task for me or something. But this is joyful. Like, this is fun. God will not just ask you to do something and that will be, you know, like, okay, I'll do it. But he will bring joy to you. It's like the places that he can take you, the things that he can reveal to you and show you who he is, what he's doing in the world, it's amazing and it's just worthy of everything. And does this words of Jesus still challenge you? Does this word still challenge you? This is a question you can answer. Thank you, Audrey. Because they must, right? Because this is not an easy question. But if they don't, perhaps you don't give them importance. Perhaps you just read them as mere stories or encouragements. And you forget this is the living word of God. This is his way to communicate with people. Going forward will be challenging. It was for Joshua. Right? That's why God was repeating, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And the truth is, we only grow if we are challenged. When you start something new, like you start learning a language, you start learning a new instrument or going to a gym, whatever it is, it's hard in the beginning. It's uncomfortable. You sometimes don't want to do this, right? Because it's still not your discipline. And it's still not the thing that you do, like, naturally. You may feel like a fool because you don't know how things work, right, at the beginning. But growth is good because we want to see greater things. Right? We don't want to just stay as we are. We just don't want to stay as you know, see the things how they are. We want a new perspective. We want to see God moves in magnificent ways. We want to see him heal people, set free. We want to see what he can do with our lives, with our hearts, with our skills. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I feel like for us mostly, it's just a reminder of hope, of joy, of peace that he carries, that he has better things in store for us. And that's why we're pressing in, because we know that something good is going to come out of it. We're pressing to new things, knowing that he is going with us. So how can you expand this mindset? Walk with Jesus. You will become wise. Walk with Jesus and apply his words. We were singing these words about rain came and wind blew. This is from the Bible, Matthew 7, verses 24 till 27. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It had the foundation on the Christ. It had the foundation on who God is and what he says I am, right? But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. We want to be the wise builders. We want to build on the strong foundation of Jesus Christ. We want to read his word and not just read the mere stories and check out the task in our calendar or in a daily log, right? But we want to apply these words into practice. When you read the Bible next time, let it challenge you. Let it show you something that is, you know, your life needs to be adjusted, right? And then you'll see his character. You'll see how he's working. The other way to expand your mindset is surround yourself with people who can challenge you, push you forward, because we need others to level with us and help us grow. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, says Proverbs 27 and 17. And friends are not just meant to make you feel great about you, right? And just hype you up and boost your confidence. This is like one of the greatest benefits of the friendship. But it's not just only about this, right? You're noticing what your friends are doing better. What are they excelling? And honoring it and learning from it, right? I notice how my friends give. I notice how my friends preach and pray and love people. And that moves my heart. And I pray, man, by them just showing me their examples, I want to be better. They challenging me. We need people who can challenge us. Yes, encourage one another, right? Outdo each other in honor. And you have to be open for the feedback of the loved friends. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. I remember at one conference here in Prague, I was in a line to get a prophetic words, and I was thinking it's going to be just this prophetic words when they said, yes, God wants big plans for you, you're doing great, and he's going to bless you, and I hear the word breakthrough in your life and something like this. And I came to this woman, and she looked at me, and she's like, you know, like this tense look in her face, and she asked me, what are you dreaming about? And my mind is like, oh my goodness, like I had to find a good answer, a good Christian answer, right? I cannot just say like I'm dreaming about like traveling or like, I don't know, getting a good job and getting a new phone or whatever. But I tried really hard to dig into my brain and find a dream that can be like good enough for God. And I think I got lost in this mindset. But then what I realized that, like, I don't know what I'm dreaming about. And I felt
bad about this. And I felt like, oh, like she made me feel like a fool, right? Or she made me look like a fool. But I could have stayed in this, I don't know, misery, right? But what it did, it actually challenged me to go and ask God to reveal the desires of my heart. That's why Psalm 37:4 is one of my favorite verses. I've been praying it for years. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. And I became jealous. And I'm like, God, I need the desires of my heart. I need you to reveal what I'm made for. And He started doing this. So we have to be open to the feedback of faithful friends and of God, of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this next season personally and as a church. Start getting excited about how it could and can be with a God for whom and with whom nothing is impossible. We need to come into agreement with God just like Mary when God blew her mind by saying that He would have a child as a virgin and He would be and who He would be. Her response wasn't, well, I don't see how this is going to be possible. Her response was, let it be done to me as you say. Trusting God for more, agreeing with His good plan for us, glorious plan, and expect more. We need to be, I don't know about you, but I think I was talking to someone just before the service started. January is a hard month for people who work, for people who study. It's just a bit stressful and a bit busy, busier than what you could remember last year, it's right? And I was sharing with a few friends, I did not feel excited about the new year. I did not feel like the hope, there was a hope of something bigger or better coming. I really felt that, man, like maybe the best days are behind me. And that's a horrible place to be. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe God will not do anything special this year. And we just need to, you know, be in a survival mode for a year or for a few months. But this is a lie, right, as well. God is doing something good. And I want, if you feel this way, I want to command your heart to awake to the great things that God can do, to awake to this hunger again, to this faith again that He is always, always doing something good. I have a friend, she was in Herrenhut, over, I think, last week, and that was her first time. If you don't know Herrenhut, Herrenhut is a city, small city in Germany, and it's a city where Moravians were settled for many, many years. They were persecuted here in Moravia, and they went to Zinzendorf, I think, if I remember his name correctly, and they were settled there, and basically, the whole mission movement started from this place. People were sent to America, people were sent to Africa, and the prayer was nonstop there. It's an amazing place, and it's a very significant place in church history. And she was there for the first time, and she loves the history of revival. And she was walking around the city, and this is what she wrote in her like a weekly email. I asked her permission to read it. And she says, stones of remembrance are right and good. It's so important that we remember and honor what God has done. It stirs our faith and reminds us of who He is. He is God of new mercies every morning. He is a God of daily bread. But stones aren't bread. Whether it was move of God from hundreds of years ago or from last year, we must now not allow our hunger to be satisfied with stories from the past. Rather, we let those stories ignite our hearts and stir our faith to believe for more. Let us run this race, not let us be stagnant and dwell on the past, believing that lie that our best days are behind us. I don't want to spend my life camped out staring at the stones. revisit them, of course, but I want to be present in what God is doing here and now, knowing He still has much more in store for us. Amen. I want this too. Do you want this? Do not settle for a small vision. Do not settle for a small mindset. Do not settle for just things just good enough, for things how they are. Let our faith grow. Let our mind open. Let our hearts stir up for better things.